The Bible reading for this morning comes from the book of Genesis, and I'll be reading from verse 1 in chapter 1 through to verse 28. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault, and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds," and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown, and very good morning to you all again. It's great to be with you here this morning, and I do hope we can catch up afterwards for a couple of cupcakes. If the kids leave any, I'm planning on seeing a couple of those off, so I'd love to join you for a couple. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. And we pray, Father, that you'd be quietening our minds and our hearts now, that we would hear you this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's Mother's Day, as you've heard several times now. It's a day that we celebrate mothers. It is through mothers, of course, that we're given life. I mean, that's fairly obvious, isn't it? We don't get a life without a mother. That's a fact. And we all have a mum. It doesn't matter who we are. Or what our relationship is with our mothers, we all have one. And that's how God gives this gift of life. It's through mothers. And so today is a day where we pause and we rejoice and we celebrate that. And as Jack's already acknowledged, it is a day of mixed emotions. It can be a day that is difficult for those who have a challenging relationship with their mums, with their families, or who've lost somebody who would like to be mums. Lots of reasons. We do rejoice with those who rejoice, but we grieve also with those who grieve, and it's important that we support and that we do that together. We'll each experience different emotions on a day like today. But no matter our circumstances in life, we can certainly say that we all have a mum. That's a sure thing. And we were given the gift of life through them. And that's because God makes mothers partners in this gift of life. And we just heard Darren reading through the book of Genesis from the Bible, describes God creating the world, describes God creating life. Now, as many of you know, up until my 30s, I didn't think God had done that. I wasn't even sure there was a God, to be honest. I thought our world and all of us in it were probably just random chance. That, you know, different elements and chemicals just sort of swirled around long enough. There'd bound to be one time where conditions would mean that, you know, life could be possible, that we could be possible. And it's a longer story about how I came to question that, but on the journey to coming to believe that God is real and that God created everything, I learned a few things. And what I learned was that life on earth is actually pretty fragile. Life's actually pretty fragile. Humans have done that for thousands and thousands of years, but the conditions to support our life are actually very, very precise, very finely tuned. There's things like the speed of light, the force of gravity, properties of electromagnetism, atomic 15 of them actually, 15 constants, and they are precisely tuned to allow human life. If any one of those changed by one part in a million, just one millionth of a change in value, life could not exist. Amazing, isn't it? Very precise conditions. And I learned that the chances of life actually happening by accident, they're so small, it's actually practically impossible, mathematically. Practically impossible. I was reading part of a book, actually, by a physicist, and he said this. The likelihood of life just randomly occurring from a bunch of chemicals is actually less than taking an omelette, giving it a shake, and having the yolk and white separate back into the original form of the egg. And so since it's Mother's Day and we made my wife omelettes this morning, I brought one in to try it out. Here it is. No egg yet. How long do you want to do this? Let me know when you've had enough. It's not likely, is it? Not likely an egg is going to drop out of that omelette mix. And nor is life by random chance. So I came to believe that God must be real and that he did create everything. And that's what we just heard in Genesis 7. And it's on your leaflets there too. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. And God did something very special, didn't he? When he created humans, it's in that verse. He did something very special. See, of all of God's creatures, only we were created in his image. Now that chapter 1 of Genesis, it doesn't spell out specifically what that means, but you can tell actually from the context of chapter 1. Because it tells you that God is personal and he's rational. Tells you that God is intelligent. He can make a plan, he can see it done. Tells you God's creative. He made everything from nothing. It tells you that he's loving. Like he made us to be in a relationship with him. And it tells you that he's good. What he created was good. He is morally admirable, if we can use that phrase. It's more than that, actually. His very being is good. The very idea of good comes from God. See, that's the privilege that God has given us. And God gave mothers a very particular role in all of that. They're God's partners in the creation of life, which is made in his image. God's partners in the creation of life, made in his image. So it is right to pause today and to honour our mums, to honour God for what he does through mums. Now, motherhood's not easy, is it? It has its small frustrations, I can remember. When I was 15, my mum had been doing a pottery class, and she got quite good at it, actually. She made a couple of porcelain swans that looked a bit like this. And my brother and I were playing handball inside because the house had this really big tiled area, which is great for handball and also good for displaying swans. And mum came in and she said, "Don't stop, go outside." She was very proud of these swans and she'd only had them for a day or two, brought them home. She didn't want them broken. But I was 15 and my brother was 13 and we knew heaps more than mum. And obviously we were so skillful, what could go wrong? And I said to my brother, "Don't worry about that, we'll be fine. We're not going outside." And then those swans got hit by that rubber ball. And these porcelain swans. And mum ran in. She saw her beloved swans now on the floor and they were just dust. And she went out, got the dustpan, tears in her eyes, swept up these swans, put them in the bin. What horrible little brats we were. But our mums persevere through much more than that sort of thing, don't they? They persevere through much more than that. There is real pain that comes with being a mum. They endure birth to give life. We've had three kids, so I've witnessed that three times, and each time I said, "I will never be responsible for causing that to her again." Very sacrificial thing, being a mum. There's real pain in that partnership, actually, in giving life, and not just in childbirth. We read on in Genesis chapter 2. We didn't read it this morning, but if you read on to chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 15 to 17, we read why there is this pain. Where it says in chapter 2, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" And we know, as the story goes on, this account goes on, the man and the woman, they did eat. They ignored God's command and they ate. It was an act of defiance against God, their creator. Actually wanting to decide what was good and evil for themselves. That's what sin is. It was turning away from God, wanting to live their own way, not God's way. And that's where things started to go wrong. See, God knows how best to live in what he created, but sin means we don't live his best way. We try to live our own way, but we mess it up and things get distorted. So that image of God that we've been given gets distorted. See, God is morally admirable, but on our own, we're morally bankrupt because of sin. And you see it in every aspect of our world, don't you? In the brokenness and the pain and the suffering, especially in relationships. And since there is a bond between mother and child that's unique, I mean, you refer to a mother's love, don't you, as a special kind of love, a special sort of bond. There is a bond between mother and child that's unique. And so mothers suffer more than anyone else when it comes to their kids. And the brokenness of society doesn't help with their children, men. When they don't do that, leave single mums raising kids on their own, and they do it the toughest. Or when society undermines the value of motherhood by valuing career and other things above that. And you can see that when sometimes, no, just about that, it's fundamental to God's plan for our existence. Or when mums see brokenness in ways that they just don't expect through rebellious children, or when there's broken relationships with them, or just in the everyday things. Kids struggling at school, struggling with friends, struggling with anything really that impacts their well-being. See, in an imperfect world, mums do suffer in ways that are unique to mums. And yet, through all of that, God's given mums something else. It's given them something so magnificent, so awe-inspiring, something so wonderful. It's even greater than their partnership in this creation of earthly life, if you can believe that. Something greater even than that. It's an invitation to partner in his hope. See, no reasonable God could let creatures intent on not living his own good way. No reasonable God could let that go on forever without consequences. There are consequences for that. We can't solve this problem ourselves. The problem needed God. And he does sort that out through Jesus. Jesus died. He suffered the consequences of sin in our place. Believe that. Believe that, because that is how we are forgiven for defying God. And it means we'll be raised eternally, just as Jesus was. That is, given new life and restored to how things were meant to be. The image of God, morally admirable, restored in us. See, mothers partner with God to bring us our earthly lives, and they're invited to partner with God in the solution to all that brokenness and pain. To partner with God to bring perfectly restored eternal life with him. You see it many times in the Bible. There was a woman called Lydia, written about in the book called Acts in the New Testament. She was a dealer in purple cloth. And she meets the Apostle Paul, and she hears this message of hope about. Now, Acts doesn't specifically say that she was a mum, but what it does say is that she brings this truth about Jesus back to her entire household. There's many accounts of mothers leading their children to this most significant gift. The Apostle Paul had a protege called Timothy, and he wrote this to him in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 5. He wrote, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded." So here is a partnership with God in its fullest sense, isn't it? Here is Timothy, born into life through his mother and then led by her to be restored in life with God through faith in Jesus. That is a partnership with God in its fullest sense. And often you will find that it is mothers that first teach their children those wonderful truths of the gospel. And the thing is, you don't need to be a mother to partner with God like that. The Apostle Paul again writes in Romans 16 verse 13. He writes to the church in Rome, and he writes this: "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also." It's only a few words, isn't it? They're so packed with meaning. The mother of Rufus, she was like a mother to Paul. So we may not all be parents, and for some I know that is incredibly painful. But we don't have to be parents to be like parents. Actually, in the Bible you don't read anymore, "just like a mother." And we can assume she was very caring towards him, showed him kindness, hospitality, showed him love. She had an effect on his life. I know for my own kids, we lived many, many years interstate away from extended family. There have been many people who have been like that, impacted their lives. And you see it actually as you read through the New Testament, mentoring, discipling, older people, walking with the younger people, helping them navigate life. And most importantly, demonstrating and teaching the truth of the gospel. The older men to the younger men, the older women to the younger women. And if you get time, perhaps later today, read the letter to Titus in the New Testament. It explains that very well. See, whether we are parents or not, mothers or not, God's invited us to partner with him, to be partners with him in his sure hope. This gift of earthly life, it's amazing, of course. This is an amazing gift. But the gift of a restored image of life, supernatural miracle. And we can all partner with God in that. Now I reckon, even if we don't say it out loud, deep down, that almost sounded Irish, didn't it? Deep down, we all know there is a God. You know, when I think back to when I thought the world was just random chance, if you asked me if God was real, I wouldn't have said definitely not. I would have said, yeah, maybe, who knows? Ability. I just didn't want to take a look. If you're here today and you're not sure, or you haven't really thought about God, Let me ask you, do you reckon, just maybe, possibly, our world was created? And if there is even the remotest chance it was, do you owe it to yourself and to your family to find out if that's true? I would love to help you do that. And if you turn to the back of your leaflet, my details are there. Contact me. If you do know God, then let's consider this Mother's Day not only God's partnership with mothers, but the partnership God calls each of us into. We're all in different situations in life, but whatever life situation we find ourselves in, this partnership with God is very much the same. An older, wiser person who cared enough to make an impact on Paul's life. Who is that for you? Who are you an older, wiser, godly person to? Who are you helping walk in their new life with Jesus? And in reverse, who is our Eunice or our Lois? And even though it's Mother's Day, for the guys, who is our Apostle Paul? Whether they're related to us or not, is there an older, wiser person partnering in the gospel, helping us walk in our new life with Jesus? That's the model of discipling we see in the New Testament, in the New Testament part of the Bible. So this Mother's Day, let's pray that regardless of our life situation, we would take hold of our partnership with God. That we'd be active partners in this sure hope that he holds out to all of us. And let's praise God for his partnership with mothers in giving us life. And let's pray for all mothers everywhere for their selfless part in that, giving each of us the opportunity to see the truth of God. Let's pray about those things now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you create life, how you give it to us through our mothers, how special it is that you create us in your image, and just how special our mothers are in all of that. Father, we ask that you would please be with those for who today is so hard. And Father, we pray that you would give them your comfort. Is that you restore us through Jesus. Help us to rejoice in that. And finally, Father, we pray you would help us to help others see that too. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.